Thank the Lord tonight for the opportunity to be back in Guthrie. Been praying that the Lord would just pour out a special anointing in the services this week. I personally am just desperately in need of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't claim to have anything in my own ability or own strength tonight, but we're dependent on the presence of God to minister to us. Think so often, and I've just kind of taken as my own how often Brother Stanley used to say, I don't have any grace to give you. I don't have any grace to give to you tonight, but I am thankful that there is one who has all grace. There is one that has all ability tonight to minister to every need that we have. And for that reason, we ask the Lord to just pour out His Spirit and a special anointing individually on our lives. Because when we get to the end of the road, folks, what everybody else is doing and has done, the problems of everybody else become relatively unimportant when I stand before God, because I have needs in my own life. And I need the Lord myself, and that's why as we look into this meeting, I would encourage you to do some self-introspection. It's time like these for us to get our eyes off of everybody else and everybody else's problems and say, Lord, I want you to minister to the needs in my life. The burden that I have on my heart that God has been talking to me about for this meeting for some time is on the subject of real people, real problems. And I look around tonight, and do you know who I see? I see real people. But I also am aware that where there are real people, there are real problems. So if you'll turn with me over to the 14th chapter of Acts, we'll begin reading in the 8th verse. It said, there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. Keep in mind, what would have you thought? If you would have been here and here was a man that had never been able to walk, and here Paul and Barnabas come along, and they looked on the man and they perceived that he had faith. And they told him, they said, well, get up and walk then. And the man got up and he didn't have to learn to walk, but there was an instantaneous, miraculous change that took place in that man's feet. And he was able to get up and leap and jump, and I'm sure he was doing some shouting with it, because he had met the Lord, had touched his life. But when the people looked on Paul and Barnabas and they saw the work that was done, they began to say, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Keep in mind here, Paul and Barnabas were being used as instruments of God, and the people saw their work, and they said, the gods are come down to us. Behold the miracles that they do. And they brought garlands and they brought their oxen to sacrifice to worship Paul and Barnabas. Consider the response of Paul and Barnabas. It said here, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and they ran among the people crying out saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Why do you do these things? See, Paul and Barnabas were in a position to begin to be exalted by the people. They looked on their works, they saw God, they saw the power of God in their life, and they said, you all are something special. And Paul and Barnabas didn't just quietly say, well, don't give us any honor. We really didn't do a whole lot.
said they cried out with a loud voice and they rent their clothes and they ran among the people. We want you to understand, in other words, don't be confused where the power rests. Don't be confused where there is real healing. It's not in us. We have no grace to give to you. We have no ability to minister to your needs. They said we are men of like passion. We're flesh and blood. In other words, we're real people. This is Paul and Barnabas. We're just real people. We have similar passions. We have similar needs. You cut us, we'll bleed. Just like you. There was no self-righteousness there, was there? If there had been opportunity for self-righteousness, it would have been right there. Well, folks, understand that it's just God using us. Understand that we've given up a lot for God and God's hand is on our life. And if there was ever a place for self-righteousness, it was right there. Folks, anytime you see a man, a person, or a body of believers that points to themselves as the answers to the problems that the world has, you can know that God's anointing and approval is not on it. Paul and Barnabas were real people, just like we are here tonight, and they wanted everybody to know we're men of like passion. But then they began to preach a message to those people of the living God. The difference between us and you is not that we're gods, we're men of like passion, but understand there is a God that can work in your life. There is a God that can come in and change and minister to the needs in our life. Oh, have you ever looked around and seen someone that just seemed like they had it all together? You know what I'm talking about? You just looked at someone that seemed like they always had all their ducks in a row. Financially, physically, no problems. It seemed like spiritually that they were just perfect. Have you ever seen people you thought that about them? I don't want to burst any bubbles tonight. But folks, we are all real people tonight. We are men of like passion. And though sometimes those, just recently, there was someone that I kind of thought that about. And then they testified one day and they told about a major failure that they had in their life. And I was like, they're real people. They have problems too. They have needs in their life too. You know, the devil would like to discourage us sometimes if you look around and think if you were really what God wanted you to be, you'd never have any struggles, you'd never have any temptations, you'd never have any physical needs, you'd never have any emotional needs. Folks, we are real people tonight. And real people have real problems. We are men of like passion, just like you are. The difference was we know the living God. Folks, it is God tonight that makes the difference in someone's life. It goes beyond who you are. It goes beyond your raising. It goes beyond where you go to church. It goes beyond your history. And it goes beyond your traditions. And it goes beyond all your good code of moral ethics. The difference is found when we get to know God for ourselves and allow Him to minister to the very real needs that we have in our life. Folks, that makes a difference in our life tonight. But Paul and Barnabas were quick to acknowledge we're just men of like passion. You see, we all have needs tonight. We look on the world around us. Notice I said the world for just a moment. We look on the world and do you know there are so many victims of abuse in our world? I read the statistics just a while back. It was mind-boggling almost the number of women that are physically abused in their marriages. An astounding large percent. There are a large percent of children who are abused in their homes. There are many. I look out on the world and the world is so full of sickness. It's full of heartache. Do you know how many people are going to go to bed in just a little bit tonight and their pillows are going to be wet with the tears that they're crying because of the burdens that they have in life. There are so many, especially in our own country, just the last few years. Do you know how many people are suffering because of financial needs? Struggling, not knowing what's going to happen next week or next month. What about emotional needs? Our world is so full of, in the school system, so many children are being medicated now because they have needs. And so now it's easier just to give them medication rather than to deal with some of the problems as a result that's causing these emotional needs. But folks, this is the world that we live in this morning. And I look at my own life. You know, there's been sickness in my life. There's been times of pain. There's been times of financial difficulty. There have been places in my life that the burdens were so great that it brought the tears. And it brought the questions, Lord, why? I don't understand, Lord. There are areas, I look in my past, there have been times that the devil was so cruel with his temptation. You see, the devil, folks, we're in a battle for our life tonight. And the devil is so mean. He's so cruel. And I look in my life and see areas where the devil has worked and where he has tried to work. And I see places in my own life, in my past, where I fell short. I disappointed myself. Lord, I should have availed myself more. I should have done that differently, Lord. I should have handled that differently. Lord, I know that I should have risen above this a little bit quicker than maybe than what I did. Do you know that if we would be vulnerable with each other tonight, that would be the testimony of all of us. You know why? Because we're real people. And tonight, we can look out on the world and talk about the problems. But tonight, we are real people with real problems. There are many a person tonight that are saved and have an experience with God that their pillow is going to be wet with tears tonight too. There are many people tonight that know the Lord, that are burdened down, that are fighting the enemy, that the temptations are sharp and keen tonight. The places that saints of God battle the devil, the very nature of temptation is when you are being drawn by something that you know God is not pleased with. That is temptation, is it not? I've said many a time, you can set a can of beer in front of me and that's not even a temptation to me because I could care less about it. But the devil knows other areas in my life and in your life where he can tempt or try to draw or try to entice. That's what temptation is. Folks, we are tonight in a battle for our life, and we need to recognize and be willing to admit and confess and acknowledge some of the problems and needs and weaknesses that we have. Just because saints of God have emotional needs and physical needs and they're battling the devil does not mean that you have sinned and transgressed the law of God. Folks, we are real people tonight, and it means because of that, because we're flesh and blood, there are going to be problems that we have because we are in this world. And we're not going to be delivered from all of those problems until the Lord comes back again. But see, the difference with God's people, the difference with those that know the Lord and the world is that God's people, not only are we real people with real problems, folks, tonight there is a real God. There is a real God that knows and understands that we're human. And I've said it here before, but folks, we are not spiritual robots. And sometimes the devil likes to come along and make us feel like that God's not pleased with us because we're not being so robotic. Because we do have feelings and we do have needs and we do struggle sometimes. Folks, God knows that, but there is a real God that came. He sent His Son to minister to the real needs that are in our life tonight. There is a real God that understands the battles and the temptations and the struggles and the financial needs and the emotional needs. There is a real Jesus tonight that wants to come and minister to us, that we don't have to go through life by ourselves. Oh, there is a place. As we sang the song tonight, I thought about what God told Moses. He said, "There is a place by me." There is a place by the Lord tonight that you can stand in. Because when I look in my past, and yes, I see weaknesses, and I see some times that I stumbled, the Lord was there to brush me off. You know, sometimes if you're in a battle and you fall down, what does your enemy do? He puts his foot on you to keep you down. You know what the Lord does if you fall or stumble? He reaches out his hand and picks you up, and he brushes you off and said, "Let me hold your hand and walk." Are we too spiritual? Are we too spiritual tonight to say, as Paul and Barnabas, we're men of like passion, but there is a God. There is a God who wants to walk with you. There's a place by God that He can minister to you in the needs that we have. You'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 12. He said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Are you standing tonight? I hope you are. But I want to tell you tonight, in the love of God, if you're standing, take heed. Be careful. Don't become so self-confident or so caught up in all of your past victories that you fail to be on guard against where the enemy is working. I just want to share a very personal experience with you. This summer, I was in California for a meeting, and I was out in the car in between services, and I was studying and meditating and praying, and the Lord had been talking to me. And the Lord came along in one of those times that He speaks just about like I'm speaking to you. I mean, the Lord spoke to me so clearly. It was almost out of the blue, and He said, "You could lose your soul." And I stopped and said, "What?" It gave me a lot of pause. I was in tears. I called my wife and said, "Renee, the Lord, this is what the Lord said." The Lord gave me this scripture: "To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." And my mind went back and I began to reflect on all those that God, that knew the Lord, people you know, people that we've known in the past, that the Lord blessed their lives and they lost out with God. And I thought, what happened? What happened? I think in part it was because they started to get, we're going to come back to this, Lord willing, in this meeting, but they started to get too caught up in probably their own abilities and who they were and what they were doing, and they failed to be recognizant of this fact that we're real people with real needs in our life, and that is why we are still so desperately in need of a Savior. Every single day, folks, until we die, we all have the potential to lose our salvation if we don't walk daily with the Lord. "To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." And He went on to say, "Then there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Folks, temptation. Oh, especially I would that the young people get hold of this tonight. I know that there are many times that young people go through certain battles in life, and you feel very lonely. Feels like, and it's not just young people, there are older people, all of us, come to places in our life that we feel very lonely. It feels like I'm the only one in this place. And nobody else has really maybe gone through some of these battles and trials and needs and temptations that I have. And it feels like a very lonely place. But folks, the Scripture says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. If you are feeling, if you are in a fight tonight, And the temptation is sharp. And the battle is hot and heavy tonight. I want you to be encouraged to know that you are not the only one that is fighting the devil tonight. You are not the only one that the enemy is battling, because the enemy knows that his time is short tonight. The enemy knows that he does not have very long in this time world, and so he's fighting hard. And I believe that the battle that we are in tonight is escalating, and I am feeling the heat of the battle tonight. And I would that we all recognize how dependent we need to be on the Lord. No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. If you read above this scripture where he was talking about there's no temptation taking you, he mentioned three things I just saw offhand when I had looked at it. It said he was talking about idolatry. There's no temptation taking you. So I've never been tempted to worship idols. You know, it's not the golden calf that we're fighting tonight. But idolatry is the focus and center of people's affection and worship. The things that control your time and your affections, your energy, your purposes, and your goals. Folks, those things are idolatry. And if you feel yourself being drawn to some of those things out in the world, that does not mean that you have lost your salvation. That does not mean that no one else fills that pool of the world. That's a temptation that is common to man. But the scripture went on to say, the Lord hath made a way to escape. See, it's not sin to be tempted tonight. Sin is when you give in to the temptation and willfully do those things that are a moral violation that will separate us from God. He said, when you're tempted, there's a way to escape tonight. He also talked about fornication right above this passage. Do you know that that is a temptation that is common to people? They're flesh and blood. And if you ever get in a place that the enemy comes and tries to fight the passions in your life, understand that those things are common to man. But there is tonight still, in Jesus Christ, a place of victory that we can have power to say no to the things of this flesh and the things of this world. And one of the other things he mentions was murmuring, complaining, discontent, not happy with my lot in life. You know, there are some people, they're just never happy with anything. You know, that's a temptation. It's a temptation that is common to man. But folks, tonight, there is an avenue to escape. There is an avenue to overcome those things because, yes, we're real people with real problems. But I'm thankful that God is faithful. And folks, God is not going to let you go easily. You know, some people, it seems like they think God just ready to, at the drop of a hat, to take his hands off. You know, the Lord is going to fight for your salvation. The Lord, God gave his son and he died for you. So why do we allow the enemy to come on and think, oh, I should have done a little bit better. Now I guess I just throw up my hands. No, the Lord wants to lift out his hand tonight and lift you up and brush you off and help you get back in the place that you need to be. If you're weary tonight of the battles of life, the Lord understands that. People that are saved, and I'm going to say it again, people that are saved still have emotional, physical, financial needs. Saved people have spiritual weaknesses. Do you believe that? There's a few of us. Do you remember when God spoke to the congregation at Laodicea? They were lukewarm, but part of their problem was they said, we are rich and increased with goods, and we have need of what? We have need of nothing. In other words, we have arrived. We have arrived in our experience with God that we've got everything just lined up and we're doing good. Folks, if we get to that place, we are setting ourselves up for spiritual failure. I am desperately in need of God's presence in my life because I'm real people. I'm real people, and you are too. Folks, the Lord wants to minister to us in our needs tonight. And it is for this cause that Jesus said, over in Luke in the 5th chapter. Remember, he was there with the Pharisees, the sinners, and his disciples were there. And Jesus said to them, because Jesus was eating with sinners and they were kind of giving a bad time, Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Folks, Jesus came to deliver us from the power of sin. There is deliverance from that. There is divine enablement to live free from the defilements of the flesh and the defilements of the world. There is an experience that you can have through Jesus Christ that you can live without sinning. But I want us to understand, although we can live free from sin through the power of Jesus Christ, we're still human. And if you hurt me, I'm still going to feel some hurt. And I might even shed some tears. If you cut me, I'm still going to bleed. But there is a God that can bring healing, see? There is a God that can enable us to forgive those that don't treat us right. There is a God that will come in the middle of our burned down heart. "Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know where to turn." There is a God that came to be a physician to needy people. So then a question is here. Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician." Who do you think was in the presence of Christ that didn't need a physician? Who was there in His presence that did not need a physician? Who was whole? I said, when I was in sin, I needed a physician. But do you know, after the Lord saved me, every single day, I still need the physician to minister to the needs that are in my life. Folks, Jesus came to save, but He also came to minister, or to doctor, if you will, to those emotional, physical, deep-seated needs that people have in their lives. The Lord came to minister to those. Jesus, there's a song I heard many years ago that said, "He came down to our level because I couldn't get up to His." Jesus came to this earth. He left heaven to walk as real people, to walk as a man. He grew up as from a babe up to manhood to be able to experience the needs that we have here tonight. Jesus knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was to cry in grief. See, when Lazarus died, Jesus wept, didn't He? Jesus came and He experienced pain. He experienced death. He went through these different areas. Jesus was tempted, see? Jesus was not so holy, folks, that He wasn't tempted. So how can we be any different tonight? But He came to experience those needs that He would be qualified to not just minister to us as a God up in heaven, but that He came down to experience our humanity, that He might know how to have true compassion when we struggle. To understand the tears that flow. To understand when we don't understand why. Jesus understands that. Heard tell of two missionaries. They were Moravians. And they heard about this as many, many years ago when there was slavery in the West Indies. And they heard about the slaves there, and they were told by some that these people don't know anything about the Lord. But they said there's no way to get the gospel message to Him because there's such a wide gap between the ruling class and the slaves that you can't, there's no way to get the gospel to them. And the two Moravians, I wrote down what they said. They said, "We will go and be slaves on the plantation and work and toil under the lash to get beside them, the slaves, and instruct them." These two men, these two missionaries, they went out and they allowed themselves to be sold into slavery. And they went and experienced and worked side by side, not as someone special, but just they were slaves. And through that avenue, through sharing the toil and the heartache and the bondage, they were able to minister the hope and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we look on that and say, that's noble. That's wonderful. But do you recognize how much more it was for Jesus? who was up in heaven, and He looked down on humanity in our wretched state, and He said, I want to go down to them so that I can work beside them. I can experience the needs that they have so that I can minister to them. It's for this cause that Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you know what it means to be poor? It means to have want. It means to not have adequate. Tonight, Jesus came. And again, I'm not taking away from the deliverance that there is in sin. But folks, there are other things in life that we face as well. There are other problems. Jesus came to minister to us tonight in the needs that we have. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Have you ever had a broken heart even after you were saved? When your heart was broken, Jesus came to minister to real people with real problems. To preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Do you know the Scripture said that He knoweth our frame? He knows that we're dust. Tonight, folks, the Lord does not expect us to be anything but human. He made us this way. Tonight, God made you just like you are. You may not like who you are. You may wish you'd been born differently. God made you just like you are, and God loves you tonight. He sent His Savior to deliver us from the power of sin, but Jesus' mission on earth was also to help me in who I am with my needs and my problems and my grief and my temptations. The Lord came to minister to me in those problems. But tonight, when He looks on us, He's moved with compassion. So what are we going to do with the needs we have? I could ask tonight, does anybody have a need or a problem? But do you know the real question is, what is our need? What is our problem? People deal with problems differently. You know, all of us respond to our needs differently. Some people try to ignore them. You ever try to ignore a problem, hoping it would go away and it didn't go away? Do you know, in a lot of problems, the more you ignore it, the worse it gets? The more we ignore needs in our life, do you know the deeper they can get inside? And it causes greater emotional and spiritual damage unless we come to the great physician and say, Lord, I have some problems. I'm struggling. I have some needs. Folks, the Lord has something divine to comfort us, to bind up, to minister to those needs. I think about how some people try to minimize their problems. Some people just try to buck up. You ever try to do that? If I just grit my teeth enough, if I just buck up, I can make it. Do you know that we don't really get true answers in the depth of our spirit when we try in our own ability? But it's coming to the Lord and being vulnerable tonight. Lord's been talking to me a lot the last few months about being vulnerable. Do you know it's difficult to be vulnerable with someone that you don't trust? Have you ever been betrayed? You were vulnerable and then your trust was not kept? You don't want to be vulnerable again, do you? But do you know tonight that you can trust the Lord? And you can just be vulnerable, but too many times people try to bury their needs. We try to act like, well, I know I'm saved, and I trust we all are tonight. I'm saved, and maybe I even have the Holy Spirit, but so things ought to be going okay, but I know these struggles that I'm having, these temptations, these battles, these emotional needs, and we sometimes, too many times, I think, as God's people, we try to cover those up because we have this image in our mind of God's expectations for us. Folks, God is the one that made us real people. But that's why He sent the Savior, to minister to the needs that we have in love and compassion. And it is for that cause, again, over in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, in closing, He said, seeing then, Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Folks, don't give up because you're in a battle. Don't allow the enemy to steal from you the victories that God has given you. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, or come with assurance, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, the Lord is not looking on us tonight from a seat of judgment. See, that time's going to come. But tonight, the Lord is sitting and communing with us from the mercy seat, that we can come and be vulnerable and say, Lord, you know what's causing my tears. And maybe I've hid it from everybody else. Again, remember, we can put on some nice clothes and get our hair fixed just right, and we can come and have this image. But tonight, all of us are real people. And the Lord wants to minister to us in the needs. But our job then, our commission was, let's come then to the throne of grace. Let's come and make ourselves vulnerable to the Lord with the struggles and the burdens of life and say, Lord, I need some help. Because folks, tonight, there is a place by the Lord that He wants to minister. He wants to bind up. He wants to give courage. And it does not mean that the Lord is going to bring instant healing for you physically. It doesn't mean that the Lord is going to deliver. If you have marriage problems tonight, do you know that you may go home and still have them? But the Lord wants to minister grace and courage and strength and enable you to go on and find a place of still having peace in your soul with God. Whatever the need tonight is, you're not alone. You are not by yourself. You are not the only person that is having these kinds of battles, because Jesus came to minister to real people with real problems. Amen.